Most believers are not taught the relevance of a retreat. Most Christians are not taught that a retreat is part and parcel of the spiritual growth process of a believer. We teach fasting, we teach prayer, but very few believers have been taught as a corporate doctrine, not just a time out away from people, but a retreat that you end and begin seasons in your life in the presence of God. It is risky to end and begin seasons in your life in the flesh. The most spiritual aspect of your life should be when seasons are ending and when seasons are beginning, because that's when Satan gets at people. When the seasons have been cleared up and you are moving, it's difficult for Satan to derail you. Are we together now? So it is very, very important. Every one of us must make sure that we use this 1 month that we're having and take out at least a few days for a quality retreat. Now, there are different kinds of retreats. We have a workers' retreat as a ministry. There are all kinds of retreats. Families have their retreats. But this retreat I'm talking about is a retreat when you are exclusively alone with God. Not even husband and wife. Not even father and children. No. There are certain things God will never tell you in public. There are certain things that you will only hear from God when you are alone with Him. Are we together? It is a very deep and simple spiritual mystery that guarantees victory. Many believers have not paid attention to it. Retreats, very important. End of year retreats, very important. You must take out time. End of year retreat cannot be done in a few hours. That is laziness. You didn't have a retreat. You just had a quiet time. A retreat should be at least minimum 2 solid days. You can't spend one day. One day alone should be dedicated to Thanksgiving. Is God speaking to us? So every single one of us and those following online, we must take out time to have personal retreats. What are the activities that should happen in the retreats? Number one, Thanksgiving. Your end of year retreat is barren of God's power until you begin and lavishly communicate Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. What we did here tonight is just a representation. The same way you spend a night vigil praying and putting your needs, you must thank God. Mention them one by one. Let me tell you, I know this about God. He never gets tired hearing people thank Him. Lord, thank you. Thank you. You gave me tea. Thank you. Last year it was without blue band. You added blue band this year. So you observed it. You see that? Not, Lord, you thank you for the food you gave me. That's a careless thanksgiving. Father, thank you. Last year it was tap water. Now you gave me bottled water. Thank you. That means you are careful. You are forgetting not His benefits. When it comes to requests, we are very meticulous. Lord, give me 1, 2, 3, 4. Then when it comes to thanksgiving, we say, Lord, even me, I can't remember. Are you not God? Don't you know everything? I just thank you for everything. Let's go to another prayer request. And God says, how selfish. Selfish. When you thank God, mention things one by one. Lord, thank you. I was on my way to Kaduna and the car wanted to capsize. You saved me. Thank you. And God will say, this happened January. Say, Lord, I didn't forget. You are too faithful for me to forget that event. He said, you remember this for me? Get ready for another dimension. Thanksgiving. Write it down. Thanksgiving. We must take out quality time to thank Him. Number two, I'm teaching you how to maximize, to set the pace to maximize your retreat. What do you do during your personal retreat? review your progress for the current year, 2017 now. That's what you do. You sincerely, honestly, unashamedly review the year. And I'll dwell here a bit to help us understand. I want all of us to really understand these things. The second thing you do at a retreat is to review the year. And you don't just review the year carelessly. You break your review into 6 different units. Write it down. The first area is your spiritual life. You review your spiritual life. Review your passion for God. Review the illumination of the word that you have accessed. What do you know now that you did not know last year? What do you understand now that you did not understand last year? Review your character. Create a scale for it. Can I say I am improving? Not just in the knowledge of God. Am I useful to society? Am I becoming a leader? Am I becoming a person of character? So your spiritual life is the first area that you have to review. Let me tell you something about retreats. You must be honest. You see why you have to be alone? Excuse me. You must be honest. You must be unashamed. You must be very sincere before God. Number 2, mental development and your capacity. You review that area. Did I cooperate with the Word of God to develop my mind? Did I acquire useful information that will set me on the cutting edge of relevance? Did I just pray and fast and build my life spiritually and allowed my mind and my relevance with my sociological environment to die? Are we together now? Yes, it matters that we not only grow spiritually, but we sustain the ability to be useful. We must be able to communicate the life of Christ to our environment. So you review it. What books did I read? What do I know about leadership? Did I learn anything? Did I build my mind? What do I know about mindsets? Am I still carrying my village in my head, moving around with it? Am I still carrying the attributes that keep me poor and a failure? Am I still carrying the attributes that make good things to live my life? Is God helping us? Number 3, review how much you have taken care of your body, your health. In a retreat, yes, sir. That's the best place so that you can easily ask for forgiveness when, because the only person you really have offended is God. This body belongs to Him. For some of us, 2017 has been a useful year spiritually and a careless one health-wise. Is that true? Review. Oh, this year, Lord, I apologize. I ate anyhow, I did all kinds of things. Anyhow, destroyed my body. Why do you make these reviews? Because you need this body to last very long. Are we together? Gone are the days when people don't talk about this in church and they tell people the most important thing is your spiritual life. And you see someone of 32 looking like 50. They ask him how old are you? He said, I will be 33 next year. Say, well, so why are you looking at? Is a condition made crayfish bed? No, you are not a crayfish. You are created in the image and the likeness of God. Some of those sayings, we must start getting them out of the body of Christ. They look very nice, but these are the things that authorize Satan to destroy our lives. Hallelujah. Your health. And some of us, it is not even poverty, it's carelessness. Write that word down. This is a word that you should look at very carefully during your retreat. Many people's lives are destroyed, including their health, because of one word: carelessness, unattentiveness to details. Hallelujah. Number 4, review your assignment, the reason for which God brought you. Review your purpose, your kingdom service. These are things that you review at a time of retreat. Lord, I look at the compass of my destiny. Did I make progress this year? Can I say from prophecy to manifestation, I have moved forward? You see, this assignment and purpose thing, you hardly even hear it again. People don't talk about it. It says, lo, I come, as it is written of me in the volume of the book, to do your will. The reason why many people have time to waste their life is because they are not occupied with purpose. If purpose does not occupy you, anybody can call you any day and say, are you free, sir? Yes, come and follow me somewhere. God designed your time to be well invested, fulfilling your assignment. This idleness that our generation has is because we are not occupied in purpose. And then the recent, I would say, trick of the devil is to make people busy but not moving forward. Motions like sitting on a rocking chair. The chair is rocking consistently, but you are not making progress. Oftentimes Jesus would retreat and look, okay, I must be here, I must be there. Your assignment, your purpose. I don't know my purpose, but you can look at your service in the house of God. Use that as a template. What was your level of commitment? What was your level of diligence? Are we together? Very important. This is what I do during my retreats. Number four, the fourth area. Number what? Number five. I beg your pardon. Your finance. Write it down, your finances. You have to flog it out in the secret place. Are we together? Now you've looked at your spiritual life, mental transformation, your body, your health. Is that true? And then your assignment, then your finances. We're very unapologetic about the usefulness of financial resources, both in the quality of our lives and kingdom advance. I'm not one of those pretentious people that would downplay the role of financial resources in helping an individual live a useful life. I've shared it again and again with us that living to seek money all your life is a curse. It's not just bad, it's a curse. It's one of the most distracting strategies of Satan. When a man spends all your life looking for money, it's a curse. Nobody was ever designed to do that. What time then do you have in building? This chase for money has made us to leave our children to the hands of Satan, has made us to leave our purpose. There are people called as prophets and apostles, but they only realize 1 week to their death. They spent their whole life chasing money and they never find it. Please let me say it again and again. Do not ever plan to continue pursuing money all your life. There is an exact time where God should help you put together financial resources that afford you the opportunity to serve God, so that you can turn and focus on the more useful things. Making financial pursuit priority in your life forever is a curse. It may be within the time you are seeking, that's all right. So this is very important. Review. Because for some of us, our whole lives is built around money, and we never get it. You talk 2 minutes, money, everything money. You say Jesus, the person replies back with money. Money every time. You have to review. Is that true? Was I able to engage the keys that bring for wealth and abundance this year? Or I just had it and it didn't work? You will easily know whether you engaged it by the results you got. Finance is one area where your disobedience shows immediately. Immediately. So you must be sincere. This year, God gave me 1 million naira. God gave me 100,000 naira. What did I do with it? I made a mistake. I gave 100,000 naira to 419ers. You don't jump that. What is the lesson that I have to learn there? Is that true? God gave me 200,000. I bought a shoe and I bought a shirt that is not yet my level to prove a point to people who were not interested. Oh Lord, forgive me. Don't say it's all right. Ask for forgiveness, because that is sin. Is that true? When God gives you resources and you waste it, if nobody has told you, it is sin. Believe me. Lord, I gave you offering of 10 naira. I gave you offering of 20 naira. But my average dinner was 2,000 naira. It's a sign that you are not a serious believer. I know you think, I'm not talking about money. You know that God has helped us. But it's important. These are some of the things that you do during your retreat. A measure of your passion for the house of God. And that includes with your resources. All these 10 naira giving. You know, most times we lie to ourselves that it doesn't matter. The amount does not matter. Are we not Bible students? He that soweth sparingly, what is sparingly? Small, scanty, shall reap, but he shall reap scanty. That's why you get one testimony in 4 months. Correct? You are reaping. But he that soweth bountifully, lavishly, extravagantly, he said he will reap. The Bible said that scriptures cannot be broken. So don't say that it does not matter. It could be a time for you. I remember it was in one of my retreats, honestly speaking, that the Lord challenged me on this. The level of giving was far less than the level of God's blessing on my life. And the Lord rebuked me. And I made up my mind and I made a vow. There is a minimum amount I will never give as offering again forever till Jesus comes. Yes, it's true. It's true. It's true. So review it. What do you understand about finances? Review it. If all you know about finances is business and job, is better, you have to sit down and flog that area. Because neither of them in themselves will give you money. Number 6, relationships. The 6th area that you will look at in your retreat is your relationships. Marital relationships, career relationships, business relationships, destiny relationships. Some of us almost wasted our year today because of the presence of bad and useless associations. Associations that should have nothing to do with our lives. It's all this, it's our tribe, it's our church, it's our this. Is that true? The Bible says, he that walks with the wise will be wise. But it says the companion of fools will be destroyed. Relationships. It matters. Review them. Review them. Who did you give access to this year? Whose presence destroyed your productivity? Who did you give access to this year that destroyed your potential for more results? Who should you have given access to this year that would have improved your life? Some of you, your relationship here, you even need to go back and check with the Holy Spirit. What degree of access did you give him? Relationships. Now, when you review these 6 areas, let me be honest with you. Your entire life revolves around these 6 areas. Your spiritual life, your mental development, your health and physical well-being. Is that true? Your assignment, your career, whatever it is, your financial resources and your relationships. There is no man that will ever be a failure if he excels in this area. Usually what I do is that I scale all 6 areas and look at the best performing area and the worst performing area, and I must answer why. I won't just say I will improve. Why? Why was this the best and why was this the worst? If your relationship, for instance, was the worst this year, what don't I know about friendship? What have I not learned? Maybe I'm neglecting honor. Maybe I'm not valuable enough. Maybe I'm too much of a talkative. Maybe I'm not somebody who can be committed secrets. Maybe I'm somebody who is not friendly. Maybe I'm someone who is jealous. Lord, help me. You write it down. Are you seeing how people grow in retreat? You never come out of that experience the same. No, sir. people jump into the new year and laugh and fast for 10 days or 21 days and become the same old them again. And you see, the Bible says you never put new wine in an old wineskin. If your wineskin is old, nothing new will ever come. You will have to replace that wineskin like a snake molting, shedding off the old skin, so that there can be room for expansion. He said, go and borrow vessels. Borrow the wineskin. Borrow not a few. And the more the wineskin, the more capacity for the anointing to function. Is that true? You must take out time. So this is the second thing you do. The first thing, let's review, thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Then the second thing you do is a review of the year. I gave you six aspects of your review. The third thing is that you must plan for 2018. Plan for 2018. I'll tell you how to plan shortly. Please write this. It's very important. Plan for 2018. It's amazing how many people don't plan. They think just because they are writing what they will do, they think that's planning. That's not planning. Many times those things are just wishes, because at the end of the year, less than 1% of them ever happen. That's not a goal. How do you plan? Set clear goals in these six areas we just reviewed. Set clear goals with scriptural backings in each of them. I am convinced that if you set a goal in any of these six areas and it doesn't have a scriptural backing, it will not come to pass, because there is no basis for committing God. Remember, your success is based on your partnership. You are not going to plan alone, for by the arm of flesh shall no man prevail. You must plan and add a scriptural backing. That means a spiritual basis for committing God in those areas. And then you must add time targets to them. Every day is not conducive for everything. No, sir. When you buy a product, if we pick up this bottle of water, you will see there's a little inscription there, the manufacturing date, and then they write something, best before. In other words, to get the best of this product, it should be consumed within this time range. Putting time target to your goals puts a healthy pressure on you to be able to achieve them. The reason why I believe that a lot of us have defaulted on our goals is because there is no time allocation. So we make it look like every day is conducive. No, sir. If you build a house at 70 years, it's not a testimony. If you finish school at 60 years, it's not a testimony. Is that true? If a woman gives birth to her first child at 60 years, it's an unusual testimony. It's because it's not supposed to be so. Is that true? If God blesses you at 80 years, who are you going to leave it for? You will be angry and be frustrated. So there are things that we must trust God to help us fast track in our lives. Say amen. And let me come to the gentleman and just talk to us a little. Please plan. Turn to any brother seated near you and say, brother, plan. Just leave the sisters in 1 minute. Say, brother, plan. Listen, spiritual people are some of the poorest planners we have, especially in this country. We don't plan for our greatness. We just hope and wish and pray. Bishop Oyedepo said, praying without planning is playing without knowing. You have to be like Nehemiah. With one hand you are building, but with another hand you are holding the sword. Both hands cannot hold the sword. One hand is holding the sword and another hand is building. He says, every house is built by some man, but God is the builder of all. That some man must build. The horse is prepared for battle, but safety is of the Lord. But it does not stop you from preparing the horse. Are we together now? I expect every gentleman here to start planning, married or not. Sit down and plan. Here's what scripture says. When I was a child, I thought like a child. Correct? I understood like a child. I acted like a child. It says, now that I am a man, I lay aside these childish things. Some of you, that's what will happen in your retreat. You have to sit down and tell yourself, this childishness in my life must go forever. Comma, this foolishness in my life must go forever. This stupidity in my life must go forever. Somehow we have this belief that because God is able, without our engaging Him through the application of the wisdom of God, things will just happen just like that. We are tired of irresponsible fathers. We are tired of irresponsible gentlemen. We are tired of nuisances to society. A gentleman who should be capable of feeding and taking care of his siblings and taking care of a generation is still depending on his old and aged parents, blasting in tongues but depending there. It should not be. It should not be. There is an honor that comes when certain things are in place in your life. Is that true? I'm speaking to everybody, but I'm speaking especially to our gentlemen. Please, let's go back to God and plan. This rat race of visiting everybody, today you are here, tomorrow you are there. My brother, what are you doing with your life? You say it is well. No, it's not well. You sit down and plan. What are you doing with your life? Oh, I want to marry Apostle. Wonderful. And eat what? Show me the blueprint of the, not the timetable of your cooking, the capability to be able to fend and take care of the family. Especially, do you know, because in Africa, let's be very honest, if I handpick everybody here, almost everybody here has at least 4 or 5 people depending to eat from him. Is that true? Leave the ladies. Gentlemen, I'm talking to you. I'm coming to the ladies. Pick anybody at random. There is one neighbor, one cousin you know, one relative that you didn't even know you are related to that needs you to feed. So gone are the days where you say, I have enough for myself. No. You must flog it out. Plan. 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 I will take the month of January to study only on finances. Even if they give you a message on rapture, you say, I'm born again. I have a goal. I'm studying on finances. I'm spending the month of February to study on faith. On faith. I'm studying the month of March to study on the anointing. I'm studying the month of June or April or whatever to study on my giftings and potentials. I'm spending the month of July to study on ministry or my assignment. That's how we grow. You don't get up every day and open to any part of scripture and just read and convince yourself that you are growing. You must plan. Are we together? By the grace of God, there is almost a message concerning every major area of your life. Go to the media stand. There are teachings. The media department can help you compartmentalize the teachings. If it is success, if it's your spiritual growth, character development, you know, salvation, etc., whatever it is, there are teachings and they are all free. Camp with them. You must plan. Number 4. The 4th thing that I want us to do by the grace of God is that all of us as a family of faith, individually, we are going to be studying the book of Proverbs. Write it down. We are going to be studying the book of Proverbs, all the 31 chapters. Study, not read. There's a difference between studying and reading. You can take two chapters and finish it in 15 days. You didn't study, you read. You glanced through. Let's use this break period to extensively study the book of Proverbs. Go online. There are all kinds of commentaries that have been done on that book. Study carefully. Don't read to finish, read to understand. The book of Proverbs, the Lord put this in my heart. We're studying the fifth admonition, which comes as an instruction, is that every one of us, as much as God has granted us the understanding, have a sacrificial seed wrapped with expectation. This is between you and God. A sacrifice is not a seed. A sacrifice is bread. He said, cast your bread upon the water. He gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. But there are times he will challenge you to give both the bread and the seed. A sacrificial seed. I'm already doing mine and I'm doing it again and again. It's a principle I have practiced for many years, that at the end of the year into the next year, I will have to commit to something that costs me, both to God and to the ministry. Every year, without fail, I do this. I'm not talking of 10 naira, 20 naira, something that even you will stand and say, Lord, I give you thanks. Between you and God. Why are you doing that? You are engaging the mystery of sacrifice and securing the year coming. Now please don't do it if you don't have the revelation. This has nothing to do with trying to manipulate money. And this is a mistake that men of God make when it comes to things like seeds and sacrifice. You see them expressing a lot of desperation. I always say this, every man of God's success is not based on the giving of members. It is based on his own obedience to the principles of the kingdom. Koinonia will only prosper to the degree to which we are complying with the precepts of the kingdom. Are we together? These five things, I promise you that when you do them, you will be ready for an amazing 2018. Number one, thanksgiving. Number two, review. That number two for me is one of the most important. You have to review. Don't just wait and say, Apostle, send us the prophetic word for next year. My body is shaking. I need to know what is the prophetic word. This is how a lot of people keep recycling carelessness again after again. And then again and again, and they find out that the year remains the same. Different words coming, but there's no progress in our lives. So go back, get a notebook. Don't just get a little piece of paper. It's a sign that you are not serious with your own destiny. Get a notebook and sit down and write these things out. Come up by the Spirit. One of the things I can guarantee you that will happen in your silence is that the Holy Spirit will speak to you. He will correct you. He will applaud you. He will rebuke you. He will encourage you. He will challenge you. Let the chastening of the Lord not be something that you resent. Whatever happens in that secret place, embrace it as a refiner's fire. It is going to be the key to your next level. Is that true? Praise God. So you do this. This is my first encouragement for us tonight. These five things, the Lord put it in my heart and I felt to share with us to help us maximize our time. Proverbs chapter 4. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We're reading the first 10 verses. Proverbs chapter 4. Just to encourage us, and then we'll pray. Proverbs chapter 4. Is it projected? Okay. Hear ye, children, the instructions of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. Solomon is teaching us here. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thy heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Verse 5. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Verse 6. Forsake her not. Who is the heart? Wisdom. Understanding. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Take note. the benefits of embracing wisdom and understanding. She shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. 7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Verse 8 says, exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor. Who will bring you? Wisdom and understanding, not just wisdom. Wisdom and understanding will bring you to honor when thou dost embrace her. We are reading to verse 10. Verse 9. She shall give unto thy head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver unto you. Verse 10. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. From preservation to honor to longevity, wisdom and understanding. Wisdom is the capacity to understand the mind of Christ. Wisdom is the ability to communicate the scriptural solution concerning every issue of life. The scriptural solution to every issue of life is called wisdom. You are wise to the degree to which you comprehend the ability to profess scriptural solution. There are cultural solutions to life's problems. There are occultic solutions to life problems. There are emotional solutions to life's problems. None of them in themselves are able to provide lasting solutions, but the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. I have pursued the wisdom of God with my life, because when I was exposed to my own folly and the fact that I am so limited and the consequences of foolishness, the Bible says he that walks with the wise shall be wise himself. But he said, just being the companion of a fool, your destruction is guaranteed. If as a companion of a fool you are destroyed, then what happens to the fool? Just being a friend to a foolish man, allowing his foolish decisions to influence you, it guarantees doom for you. That means every fool has no hope. Foolishness is bankruptcy of the knowledge of God's principles. It's not just acting foolishly. The foolish action is a product of bankruptcy in your spirit and in your mind. I'd like us to carefully examine the decisions in our lives. I want us to carefully examine the things that we do. The degree to which you have succeeded is a show of how you have manifested the wisdom of God. Every time results are not produced in your life, it's because there was a defaulting in the wisdom of God. It's an uncomfortable truth, but it's the secret to rising and pressing for wisdom. I am ever ready to be shown by God the areas in my life where I am bankrupt of the wisdom of God. It doesn't embarrass me. I want to know. I search for it like one who is looking for treasure. If you do not contend for wisdom, your life will be an unending circle of pain, an unending circle of regrets, an unending circle of many things. Most of us look at our lives this year and we can see several points in our lives where foolishness veered us off the path of glory and brought us into a lot of pain. Some of us lost destiny helpers. Some of us lost the gift of men. Is that true? Some of us lost opportunities. Some of us lost access. Several things. No wisdom. Some of us this year, we approached our parents wrongly, and right now there is a divide between us and our parents. Lack of wisdom. Some of us had zeal with no knowledge, and it brought a lot of trouble to our businesses, a lot of trouble to our ministries. Wisdom is very important. The Bible says it is the principal thing. And we should, the Bible says, I commend you to the word of God. It says it's able to make you wise. The word of God makes men wise. Just by focusing your attention on the word of God and imbibing the principles, the modus operandi of the kingdom, it makes you wise. The word of God teaches you how to relate with difficult people. The word of God teaches you how to speak and when to speak so that you don't get into trouble. The word of God teaches you how to respond to unbelievers. Many of us come from families where there is a mixture of people who are both of the faith and not of the faith. Wisdom teaches you how to communicate. Wisdom teaches you that when you are angry, be silent, because every time you speak, you will speak in the flesh. There are many people who just obeying this principle would have saved them businesses worth millions of naira. They uttered words that they are still paying for it today. Are we together? Our challenges, Dr. Mike Murdoch will say, there is no money problem anywhere. And I agree with him. Most of our challenges, because you see, we are victims of our understanding. And most of the things we have executed in our lives are reflections of the limitations of our knowledge, our wisdom, our understanding. Guess what the Bible says? It says, through wisdom, a house is built. Then it says, by understanding, it is established. The firmness of that house is a product of understanding. It says, true knowledge is a house filled with every pleasurable thing. We must make up our minds that we are going to access the word of God, not just as an instrument to heal us of the guilt of spirituality, I would say. For many people, our study of the word is just to, so that the devil does not plant any seed in us that we are backsliding, but we are not learning anything. This is the greatest book that will help your career and your business. This is the greatest book that will help your marriage. This is the greatest book. The sufferings in our world today is because we have ignored the truths that are here. We have read it like a religious book. We have read it to preach. We have read it to carry out Bible studies and prayer sessions. But we have not read it for the purpose of accessing wisdom. For the way of the Lord is the way of wisdom. I choose the way of the Lord. Listen, there is no age you get to in life that guarantees that all your decisions will be flawlessly accurate. This is the book that coordinates our success. There is no educational height you get to that guarantees that your decision-making process will be accurate. Even if you study psychology, it is not enough to give you all the parameters that are needed in themselves to make wise decisions. I have lost confidence in myself outside of the word. It says, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. In this wicked world, listen, this ministry by the grace of God was built on this word. I have meticulously built my life on this word. I don't trust any other thing that is not this word. I bring you a proposition tonight as we round up this year. I want you to return to a place where you hold an unquenchable hunger and value for the word. Many of us pray, but our lives are bankrupt of wisdom. Our decisions show the absence of the influence of the word. It's very clear that we are not being governed by the word. I can know how much you have imbibed the word by the excellency and the quality of your communication. I'm not talking of linguistic excellence. I'm talking of the wisdom that flows from your words. I see your behavior. I see how you disappoint your enemy's expectations, and I know you have stayed with the word. When you become a victim of people's expectations, wait and see. He's going to shout at this person. Ah, you come and shout. Ah, you have given yourself cheap to life. The word of God is not coordinating you. Jesus disappointed the expectations of the people many times. For instance, when they brought to him the woman who was caught in adultery, they expected he was going to rant because they were talking about the word of God. You know, every time Satan wants to challenge you, he uses scripture. Moses said this and Jesus kept quiet. Wisdom. For there is a time to speak and there is a time to be silent. There are times where your loudest communication is in your silence. Your silence will answer more than any word. For instance, when responding to your critic already knows the truth. Don't try to explain. It's a waste of time. You don't respond to critics by verbal communication. You respond to critics by consistency. Consistency of your results. Is that true? When I look at our lives and I see our lives surrounded by pride and arrogance, it is because we have not seen the deception of pride. The deception of pride is like a man climbing a ladder and you take the ladder away. That's exactly what pride does. I love the word of God. I stopped reading my Bible to finish it. I stopped reading my Bible to climb scriptures. I found out that it was truly a roadmap in this darkness. Darkness where there is deception. How many of you have followed people's advices and their advices crashed you? Not because they were bad people, they were just humans. They advise you to beat your wife if she goes wrong. Say, I tried it on my own wife. Look at how she's behaving now. You tried it on your own wife, and that's when your prayer stopped being answered. That's the first thing that started happening to you, and many other bad things happened to you. I can look at your life and know how much the word of God has prevailed by the quality of the results that you produce. You see, let me tell you something. If I look at your life and I see you are dirty and tattered, as simple as neatness, I know you don't have respect for the word of God. If the word of God can purge your spirit, then your life will reflect it. You cannot be growing in the world and you are dirty, unkept, looking like a thief all the time and say it does not matter. No, sir. The word of God will make you to buy iron, because it will teach you that there is a way you appear before kings. There is a way kings behave. And the Bible tells you that you have been made, according to Revelation chapter 5 and verse 10, we have been made unto God a kingdom of kings and priests. So you speak like a king. You act like a king. Is that true? It is the word of God that is the antidote to these conflicts that our cultures create in our heads. Christian versus Hausa, Christian versus Yoruba, Christian versus Igbo. You don't know which one to embrace and which one to leave. I propose to you a culture that is above and superior to every other one. That any part of your culture that does not subscribe to the word of God, eject it immediately. The kingdom is a culture. Most of us, our lives have been destroyed because of our unfortunate loyalty to cultural tenets that are completely antichrist. So although we are attempting again and again to be spiritual, but the thinkings that we have imbibed from culture continue to fight God in our lives. I have no loyalty to anything that is not of God. This is it. This is my new culture. Scripture tells me that I've been called out of every tribe. I'm not saying culture is bad in itself, but trust me, there are demonic and satanic areas. There are certain aspects of culture that are not seen in themselves, but I tell you, they are weights. A weight is something that can provide an impedance. It can stop your movement. It says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So when you are carrying a weight that is destroying your life, in our place we don't do this. In our place women cannot talk. Who is this woman preaching? I can't listen to her because in our, which your place? Who invented it? Oh, God is speaking. I will listen. In our place, young people don't talk to old people, even respectfully, even under the anointing. Are you seeing that now? It is important that we calibrate our minds so that we begin to view life from the perspective of the kingdom. They drove children from coming to Jesus. Something about their culture taught them that. And Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them. He said, for such. That means these children roaming around are teaching you a lesson you are not learning. That until you become like one of these, not childish, but childlike. Very malleable in your faith and understanding. He says, the kingdom is for such. Are you getting blessed tonight? Get wisdom. Get understanding. Make a conscious decision that in the name of the Lord Jesus, although I was born in so-so-so place, I was born under so-so-so condition, by the grace of God, my children will not live under that kind of condition. The Lord by His Spirit will lift me. It's not about Nazareth. It's not about where you come from. It's about your ability to walk with the Word of God and bring that transformation. Hallelujah. By the grace of God, I have made it a personal commitment as a minister that I will never create seditions or favoritism based on geographic factors. Never. Never. You will never see me do that. I love my people, wonderful people, love my region where I come from. But by the grace of God, I've traveled to every one of the regions of this nation and they love me unreservedly because I do not and will never, never try to create any sense of superiority of one culture above another. I love everyone. The Bible says there is neither male nor female, neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free. We are all in Christ. So I cannot see Ike and say Ike is Igbo and say Pastor Alpha is from Kogi State, Promise is from Delta, and I say you are my person, be careful. Those are the kinds of mindsets that rob us, because your destiny helper will come as directed. It may not be from your place. Joseph of Arimathea. The Bible does not record that he was part of the disciples of Jesus. How about Simon of Cyrene? The people who played very major roles in the life of Jesus. Jesus was rejected by his own people. They ran away. Anna the prophetess, Simeon in the temple, Joseph of Arimathea. Look at the strange people who came and attended to him. Wisdom. There are ministries that have crashed into pieces because of lack of wisdom. They make it look like if you are this tribe, you are not welcome. If you are that tribe, you are not welcome. We must be careful because we are dealing with a global society. Part of the principles you learn when you study global leadership is that you must concentrate on the points of similarity. Concentrate on the points of similarity. Nobody will be comfortable in an atmosphere where their core values are being insulted simply because you are trying to demonstrate the superiority of another culture. So we unify ourselves as believers with one common culture. It's called the kingdom. The kingdom is God's culture, where we allow the influence and the reign of Christ to permeate our lives, regardless of our geographic differences.
Elohim Adonai, thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
The Bible that teaches us how to be wise financially. It says a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. So when you see a young man spending as if he would not marry, you see that? Living a fake and a foolish life. That's a selfish man because he's not thinking about his children and his children's children. The Bible says it. The Bible says there is he that scattereth. Hear the wisdom of God. There is he that scattereth and increaseth. There is he that withholdeth more than is meet and tends to poverty. That means there is a relationship between greed and lack. The Bible establishes it. So when there is lack in your life, you check and you see that there is scripture is fulfilled in your life. The Bible talks about tithing, that there is a relationship between the opening of your heavens and your tithing. Regardless of whatever opinions are available, scripture cannot be broken. It is by these two immutable things. God swore his word will not be broken. Heaven and earth will pass away, but brothers and sisters, men and their philosophies and their pride and their arrogance, nations and kingdoms will rise and fall, but the word of God remains consistent. One of the greatest fears, if I would say, in my life is to find out that at the end of my life I believed a lie. I wasted my time following a man, following a philosophy, and then at the end he would tell me, I'm sorry, me too, I'm as confused as you. I choose the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. This ministry is a tithing ministry. I'm a tithing person. There is no devil and no doctrine that will ever stop us. That's why there is no amount of recession. I say it with all humility, by the grace of God Almighty, that is capable of limiting me as a person and limiting the work of God. For he said, I will build my church, and if you allow me build it, I will build it in such a manner that the gates of hell will not prevail. This is the wisdom of God. I have learned from the wisdom of God that as a man of God, your assignment is to lift up Jesus, not yourself. This is the secret to crowd. You lift up yourself, you pay for it. He says, and I, if I be lifted, the reward for lifting me is mysteriously, I will draw all men, not some men, not some territories. When I found this, I said, Lord, I have no business building any empire. It is about Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thank God for the honor, but I'm so happy to let you know that the one who really deserves all the glory and all the honor is Jesus, the head of the church, the builder of Koinonia. It came from the word. I'm showing you things from the word. I have found out in the word of God that when you honor the body of Christ, there are dimensions you enter. It is the word of God that gave me that wisdom. So I can insult a man because I do not like something about him, yet he's carrying an anointing that can help me. It is for this cause many are weak. For this cause many are sick. For this cause many do sleep. There are many people who would have cheaply received miracles, but the vessels that carry the anointing are not appealing to them. The scripture says there is a treasure in earthen vessel. He didn't tell you the vessel is golden. He said the vessel is earthen. So he can be angry like Elijah or temperous like Moses. They still are anointed. When I found out I don't have any problem with any man of God, you never hear me open my mouth and tear down a man and his ministry, because I believe that there is always something I can learn. Even if I cannot learn spirituality, I can learn excellence. I can learn leadership. When you search for Jesus everywhere, you will find him. I learned from this scripture that as a man, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So I stopped wasting my time packaging a reality that is not here. Gone are the days where people try to buy suit, buy shoe with empty understanding, and then their minds reduce their lives back. Have you seen territories like that? They try to do physical things. They have not educated the people in that environment. Then they make tap. In 6 months, they spoil the tap to look like the mindsets of those living in that environment. No sensitization. So I learned that the key to my lifting is not buying clothes, buying shoe, buying all these things to prove a point, that I can wait with the Holy Spirit to reconstruct my understanding, and that inevitably the things I so admire will helplessly run towards me. Oh my God, and how true. This is one of the truest revelations I know in scripture. the supernatural power of the transformed mind and its ability to effortlessly draw to your life the realities that are consistent with your understanding. It is true. Are we together? The wisdom of God tells you there is hope for a tree, even if it be cut short. In our society where we are more than happy to conclude on people, you look at someone and say, this guy used to be an armed robber, there's no hope for him. But when you study the word of God, the Bible is full of people that God transformed their lives overnight. And my Bible says that rejected stone. That rejected stone. I'm speaking to someone in your family, and all the nonsense and rubbish that they say about people. There are people who started this year with their pride of spirituality, and right now they are almost not even born again, because their pride humbled them. They maintain their spiritual life by themselves. But there are people who started this year saying, Lord, if you are looking for any vessel, can you use this drunkard? And God said, that's all I want, come. And right now, as I speak to you, they are in various stages around the world, setting ablaze the kingdom of darkness, because he uses the foolish things. When you understand this, you will never run your mouth at anybody and conclude on people. You don't see a woman who is frying akara and look and say, oh dear, poor woman, because God can pick someone. You see, the word of God makes men wise. The way we speak sometimes shows that we have not read scripture. Whether it is a poor man, rich man, I will hug you and greet you. I won't say you are this. No. Of course, I will give you honor. Because God, I have seen in my little life how God has transformed people overnight and made princes to be servants and servants to become princes. If the Baba of Joseph knew he was barbing the prime minister, he would have begged him and said, sir, don't forget me, oh. There were people of Basanjo lifted simply because they dared to advise him while he was in prison. When he came out, he sent for them, created one committee and dropped them there. He said, eat before I change the committee. And he said it very openly, not anything in hiding. I brought this person here because he was there for wisdom. Wisdom teaches you to be there for people at their worst areas, because they will never forget you. People will forget you when they, if I hold a banquet for plenty people, you hold that banquet as a king, so you forget everybody. But when someone comes to you in the cave of Adullam, you say, I will never forget you. Everybody ran away from me, but you stood here. One of the quickest ways to be rich is find somebody rising. Find a vision rising. Be part of it with all diligence. That's a free ride to the wealthy place. I guarantee you. Some of our parents today know people that would have changed their life in a heartbeat. They are crying for rent, whereas somebody that they would have helped with 50 naira 20 years ago would give them an estate today. The word of God making us wise, making us wise, making us wise, making us wise. Hold your Bible in 1 minute, and I'd like you to pray and say, Lord, there is wisdom in this scripture. There is wisdom in this scripture. There is wisdom in this scripture. I'm tired of foolishness in my life. Lord, I come to terms with the fact that my decisions are obviously showing a bankruptcy of the word of God. The quality of my decisions are a revelation that the wisdom of God is not at work in my life. The quality of my decisions, the quality of my results are questioning the efficacy of the word of God in my life. Are you praying? I'm not asking you whether you have been faithful with Bible study. I'm not asking you whether you have been faithful with your devotion or whatever it is. I am asking you, have you allowed the wisdom of God to influence your understanding? Do you live your life trading the mysteries of the kingdom? Or do you live your life guessing and hoping that at a point in your life things will change? It's risky to run your life by your own formula. Hallelujah. Sit down. The wisdom of God, come. The wisdom of God teaches us how to relate with people. Is that true? When you study the wisdom of God, the word of God, you will know that whoever wants friends will not sit down and say, call me, text me, be my friend. That friendship is a harvest. You have to sow the seed. So if I sit down and I find out that I love God, but there are no friends. As a lady, nobody likes me. As a guy, nobody likes me. The secret is that something about your life is creating an environment that is pungent to friendship. See that? When you lack helpers in your life, the Bible gives you a prescription. When you lack helpers in your life, I can tell you immediately there are things you are not doing. Among them, there is no prophecy on your life, because destiny helpers don't come on their own. It is one aspect of your life that it is pure prophecy that calls them. Are we learning? How about fear? Living in fear. There are many of us, we have used our words to program wolves. Ladies, it is not for us. We are not us. We are the We are the outcasts. We are the ones who our parents cannot just leave it to these people. And the Bible says, do not say before an angel, I made a mistake. We have programmed nonsense and rubbish. A name God did not call you. You have allowed yourself to be called it again and again. You called yourself ugly. There is nowhere in scripture where you are called ugly. You called yourself irresponsible. The word of God does not call you that way.
Open my eyes. Help me believe. I am what you say.
Hallelujah. So friendship. The Bible says, cast not away your confidence. Confidence is not pride. Confidence is psychological stability that is on the strength of the truth you have found in scripture. That's confidence. Stability that is based on the truth of God's word. If you tell me, Apostle, I was passing across a shrine and I heard them talking about you, that they will kill you tomorrow, I'm going to sleep this night. I won't wake up and do any special prayer through the night of God. And it can't be joy, it's a joke. If you know the mysteries that keep this man standing, you surround yourself with mysteries like chariots. When the spirit of death knocks on your door, three scriptures come out like fire. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. Number two, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long and that it shall be well with you. Number three, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. I advise you and I chose it. Do you fight a man outside his will? Even God stands in the door of your heart and knocks. Why won't Satan knock? Why won't death knock? If God is knocking to enter. I don't know about you. The Bible says a man who has no control over his spirit is like a city without wall. Anything that must enter my life, if God knocks to enter, nothing will enter on his own. It's my revelation. So when men say there is a casting down, they allowed it somewhere. For me, when it knocks, I say, get back. For me, there is a lifting up. See, I'm not just entertaining you. I'm showing you how the word of God makes a man wise. It constructs your understanding. The Bible says he daily loads me with benefit. I expect favor every day. Recycled after 24 hours. It's not because I'm a preacher. I expect it. I found it. I found thy word and I ate it. It was a joy and a rejoicing. The word was not written for preachers, brothers and sisters. It was written for those who can believe. My mother started learning these principles, and you will find that people will start calling, take a bag of rice, give your mother, take this, give your mother, working for her. She's not a preacher, and it's not because she's my mother. It works for anybody. He said, declare ye that ye might be justified. I will never say I am a failure. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. Just because there is no food in your room, most believers will come, guide this life self. A luta continua, victoria escata. It's a curse. You are reciting, you are enchanting. It's the same thing as being given a charm in a herbalist shrine and you read it. That's what we have been doing. You come in and you see lack and insufficiency, you declare, while I look not at the things that are unseen, but the things that are seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, subject to change, but the things that are unseen, I know that one day I will feed nations. Come on now. You are going through times in your life, you don't understand what is happening. You don't give room to depression. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I know my Redeemer lives. Bible said Job did not curse God. The way we act is a revelation as to whether the word of God has worked in us. You go back and you meet friends, Emeka, and then they say one kind of very devilish, poisonous and vulgar word. You call a human being a dog, you call a human being, it used to be a joke, but now that you have the revelation, you lovingly say, no, I'm not a dog. I know exactly, dogs in scripture are used to communicate Gentiles and people who are at the basest levels of life. I will not confess that. The Bible says he has made me a king and a priest. I remember when I was in secondary school, there's something they call yabbing. You know it? Where two people will sit down and look for very nasty expressions, very vulgar descriptions of themselves. The goal is for it to be funny. So somebody, usually there are a group of people who are like the referees. I will say my own, you'll be angry and say your own, and then, you know, that's why people were not doing well. Notice people enter JS1 and by the time they finish writing exams, they come out, the only thing they come out with is a good certificate. Common sense gone, health gone, they are sick, they have troubles. God has not given me the spirit of fear. The Bible says I shall not be afraid of the arrows that fly by day. In my world, there's nothing like ember moths. He daily loads. This is the day the Lord has made. He didn't say the Lord and Satan, the Lord alone made that day. Satan too was waiting for God to make the day. It was God that made the day. I rejoice in it and I am glad. You will never see me frowning my face and you ask me why. I say, Kai, this world, Nigeria. I said, no. He said, for with joy shall I draw. I've taught you this. Frustrate Satan by remaining joyful. He said, rejoice in the Lord, not in your results. If you rejoice in your results, the day you don't see it, you will not rejoice again. If you rejoice in your CGPA, your job, your new employment, I rejoice in the Lord. My eyes are on him. Regardless of the results, my eyes are on him. You pick a medical report and it looks at you. It says, the medical report says you have all kinds of lumps and all kinds of growths. And the devil says, that's it. In case you don't know, the name is cancer. It's just that it's forming. Come, keep watching. And you sit down and go online. Signs of cancer. They say it starts like lumps. You come and meet Emeka and then he will confirm it to you. He says it's true. And drop that report and say, Lord, if I die, who will dance? You are reducing the number of people who will praise you. Ask Hezekiah. Isaiah went to him in chapter 38 and said, Hezekiah, set your house in order. Hezekiah said, nonsense. I respect you. You are a prophet of God, but leave me and God. Shut the door. Hezekiah said, God, what did I hear you say? Remember your temple. When you talk about the temple, God listens. Oh, Lord, your house. Oh. And he said, no, please, Isaiah, go back. Department, on Tuesday, I was rounding up their session with them and I told them something. I said, as a worker in this ministry, there are benefits that should be yours. They are not privileges, they are rights. As a worker, there are certain things that should be yours. The Bible said a worker is worthy. The word worthy there is deserving of his wages. Not just a worker in Koinonia, a worker in the house of God. The closest simile to wages is salary. That means that there should be something that leaves heaven for me. You have gotten your salary for being a civil servant of Nigeria. Have you gotten your salary for being a worker in the house of God? Is God speaking to you? The way I speak, the way I act, the way I understand is a revelation. When you look at your child and beat your child and kick your child and say you are an idiot, you are a stupid child, I don't know why, you and your foolish mother, you are revealing something. The kicking is a revelation. It's a revelation that, number one, you don't know that children come from God. Number two, you do not know that fatherhood is an office recognized in the realm of the spirit. There is a priesthood office that fatherhood has. The mother of Jabez was angry. She didn't know that motherhood is an office. And out of her anger, she named her child Jabez. Every time Jabez was to be good, that office cried in the realm of the spirit. And one day Jabez was angry and said, no, I can't continue like this. I can tell you more than half of Africans are carrying all kinds of tragedies that the office of father and mother provided out of anger. Your father looks at you and just says, look, it will not be well with you just because that time you were in the world and you stole his shoe or you stole a goat and went to go and sell it, and he looked at you and in anger he cursed you. Said, this is how you will be like a goat all through your life. And you would think it's a joke until you find out you put a goat side by side with the way you are behaving and you see that it's exactly the same. True story, I'm rounding up. I know a gentleman that the mother cursed him and said until a rat stops stealing, he will not stop stealing. Yes, true story, God is my witness. He was a popular face that I knew. This guy will come out of prison now. As they are waving him, sign it. In 2 weeks, he's coming back again. That prophecy secured the spirit of theft in his life. Comfortable. The only thing that can set him free is the anointing. You see the reason why we speak over people? Yes. You speak over people to superimpose and veto the ordinances that have been communicated upon their lives. Listen, brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that these are spiritual ordinances. Fatherhood and motherhood did not end with the Old Testament. In the New Testament, a man treats his wife bad, and the Bible says his heavens will be closed. This is why many fathers are going through hard life in Nigeria. I'm telling you this. This attitude of treating mothers and treating women as if they are a piece of rag. You are a father here, please, I apologize. I have great respect for men. I'm one, I've been one all my life. So I don't in any way downplay men. But I want to be sincere with you. The way you treat your wife, not a woman, your wife, will determine whether your heavens will be closed or not. So you can labor. You finish insulting your wife, call her stupid woman. You and all your 5 useless children, you are going for the business meeting. They call you when you are almost there and say, sir, just go back. It won't work again. You say, what do you mean it won't work? I just prepared my paper, the heavens. You always know when the heavens are closed, because a forest becomes a fruitful vine and becomes a wilderness. Irrecoverable depletion from, as they say, from grace to grass. Close heavens. That's why the Bible says, until the Spirit be poured upon us like rain from high, then a wilderness will become a fruitful vine. Then a fruitful vine will be counted for a forest. Thank you. Hallelujah. We're going to pray tonight, and then I'm going to speak over your life. I really believe in the power of prayer. Listen, let me encourage you. With these keys that I've shared with you, I expect every wise young man whether you are staying with your parents or not, or if both of your parents have gone to be with the Lord, you have spiritual parents, you have all kinds of representatives. If I were you, do something for your earthly parents that will provoke a blessing from them. As you are going home now, don't just go as a big man, no money, close heavens. Go and meet your parents. Mommy, I don't have so much money, but I made pepper soup for you. I went round the city looking for bushmeat that you like. I found it.
Ah, really?
My daughter, you mean bushmeat? Okay, God bless you. Ah, mommy, no, I came with this one specially. Please pray for me. What kept you and daddy for 50 years? Let that grace come. Your mother will look and say, kneel down. That's it. I can guarantee you that prayer is not noise. He said, go and make me venison that I may bless you. You don't bless without venison. The foolishness of young people. You stroll to anybody and say, God bless me. You think he walks like that? Was it just because he was hungry? It's a principle. Honor your father and your mother. I'm telling you, this is some of us, this is what will break this joblessness, these problems. Some of us, you just need to go back home and say, mommy, I'm sorry. For 5 years, I have given you a lot of headache. You people don't even like seeing me. But I want to tell you that I got connected to a ministry and God has changed my life. I just want you to speak over my life. I don't have much, but I came with 100 naira recharge card. They may have 10,000 naira in their phone, but that 100 naira is what will open you up. They will say, kneel down. Let me tell you, whether your father is a believer or not, if he speaks to you, it's an office. It will open your destiny. Are we together? You go back home and you see the people in your community loitering their life. Christmas is when people die from bike as a result of drinking. They learn how to ride bike during Christmas until they die from it. And you just sit and say, look, three or four friends, let's see what we can do. One day, small program somewhere at the back of one football field. Put one speaker and the rest. Organize something, even if it's for the children. Instead of our little children dancing all this devilish dance that they start spoiling the hearts of these small children, gather them. Let them, even if it's biscuits and soap or something, you have done something noble for the kingdom. And then take God on Exodus chapter 23, verse 25. You shall obey and serve me, and I will bless your bread and water. I will take sickness far away from you. There will not be barrenness in your life, and your days I will prolong. Lord, I served you during this break. I come for the blessings that follow service. Are you ready to pray? Please rise up on your feet.
Elohim Adonai, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Elohim Adonai, thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Let's hold hands together and begin to pray in the Spirit and seal the remaining part of this year. Seal the remaining part of this year. Go ahead and pray. Pray, Lord, we feel 2017 in honor and glory. You crown our year with honor, and the mountains got fatness for us. You crown our year with honor, the year of triumph. You crown it with honor. Pray, we are going to pray and say, Lord, if there is anything according to your predeterminate counsel that I should experience for 2017 and is still lagging in my life, the remaining days that we have, I think we should have about 20, maybe about 16 more days. Am I right? 16 days is too much for God to do a fearful miracle. Open your mouth and release your faith. Move, oh God. Move, oh God. Shabakatoka sadabakata baladaba. In 16 days, you can still confirm your word concerning my life. You are the miracle worker. You are the way maker. Make a way for me. You are the destiny changer. Give me a testimony. Give my family a breakthrough. Come on, pray for Yonia. Pray for my followers as we pray. Lord, I release my faith for ministry, for business, for career. You can still give me the job. You can still give me the promotion. I can still recover everything that was lost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want us to pray a very serious prayer right now. Most of us are going back maybe to spend the break with our loved ones or around. I'd like you to pray. When Jonah entered a boat, people started weeping and losing everything because one man in disobedience was in the boat. He made the boat unusually heavy and was about to capsize. But when the ark of God entered the house of a man called Obed-Edom, without prayer in 90 days, 3 months, everything changed. I'd like you to pray and say, Lord, I am a living tabernacle. As I go home or wherever it is that I'll be going to, I represent your possibilities. I represent the heart of God. Go ahead and pray. I go home to smash the works of darkness. Every activity of divination, every activity of darkness over my loved ones, in the name of Jesus, as I step my feet, I decree and I declare, by the power of the Holy Ghost, the heavens are open unto me. In the name of Jesus, I challenge every force. Hallelujah. Praise God. Don't be tired of praying. I want us to challenge 3 demonic forces over our family. Listen. 1 is the spirit of sickness and infirmity. 2, the spirit of poverty and hardship. 3, the spirit of death. Lift your voice and curse them. Lift your voice and curse them. In the name of Jesus, I represent the government of heaven over my life and my family. I command the spirit of death, take your hands off my loved ones. There will be no sound of mourning. In the name of Jesus, pray. I come against necromancy. I come against manipulations of the constellations to destroy the life of any one of my loved ones. They are covered. I lift the standard of the blood. I lift the standard of the blood. Shake
I leave the standard of the blood. No death, not by accident, not by terrorism, not by plane crash. I cause sickness. I cause infirmity. I cause sickness. We cause cancer. We cause arthritis. We cause hepatitis. We cause every killer disease, every terminal disease. Take your hands from our loved ones. The spirits of poverty and hardship, stealing resources from our loved ones, causing conflict in home. Pray, challenge the spirit. I come against you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you ready to pray? I'd like you to program favor that as I step out, all through from now till January, when I come back, is going to be favor, whether you have an uncle or not, financial favor, all kinds of open doors. Open your mouth and declare it. Create it. I command favor. In the name of Jesus, I call for helpers for my family, helpers for my destiny. Lord, I receive all kinds of favor, all kinds of favor. Favor, man arising. Hallelujah. Listen, I want you to believe me. We're rounding up, but you see, not many people in this life have truly encountered favor. Favor is an experience that happens once, but the result continues without stop. We're going to pray this prayer again. Listen, the hardship in many of our families, even salary, will not cure it. Is that true? There are some of us now, if you get a job and you are giving your loved ones $300,000 per month, even after 5 years, it will not solve the problem. 15 people in the house, only one person is working, is earning 20,000. That's a curse. When I say favor, I'm not saying look at your employer to give you one bag of rice or one of your rich uncle in America. Take your mind away from any man. Don't add faces. Your own is to just create with your words. Are you ready to pray? For me and for my family, Lord, surprise us. Surprise us before December 31st. Lord, do something that has not been done. A major dimension of favor. Pray, no matter what kind you have seen, provoke another. Provoke another. Pray, provoke another. In the name of Jesus, I create it. I call it forth. I call it forth in my life. I call it forth in this ministry. I call it forth for my loved ones. I call it forth. Strange favor between now and 31st December. Strange favor. Hallelujah. We'll soon round up. I'd like you to pray. Listen, one of the major reasons why there is trouble in our homes is because someone there has not given his life to Christ and therefore does not subscribe to the value system of the kingdom. Are you hearing what I'm saying now? It is terrible to have someone in a family that has not given his life to Christ or is not interested in being passionate, especially if they have authority over you, because they will force you to stay in their mode. You pray for 30 minutes, they say, are you the first to be born again? I have been born again. I'd like you to pray two things. Lord, massive encounters. I'd like you to pray for your loved ones that don't know Jesus. Lord, this is the season. They must encounter Jesus. Lift your voice and pray. I pray for my brother. I pray for my sister. I pray for my father. I pray for my mother. I pray for my uncle. I pray for my step siblings. Pray, pray. Lord, we are tired of the challenges that their lack of encountering Christ is bringing to us. Financial troubles, spiritual troubles, they continue to become doorways and portals through which darkness comes in to destroy and invade. Give them an encounter. Give them visions. Give them dreams. In the name of Jesus, break their pride, oh God. Give them solid encounters. Encounters with your power. Change them. Change them. Change them. Some of them have vowed that they will never give their life to Christ. I'd like you to pray and say, Lord, in your majesty, prove them wrong. Prove them wrong. Hallelujah. One last prayer and then we're done for tonight. Listen, all these prayer points I'm giving you, when you go back, pray them. Especially this prayer of salvation. I can tell you this, with the little experience I have counseling families, 90% of the problem is that there is someone who is comfortably a gateway for Satan to destroy people. Notice how Satan does it. In every family, he must start for somebody. One bad boy, one bad girl, or maybe our fathers, our mothers. Everyone tries to press into God. You just hear that police are calling you. Go to the police station. They will tell you they've caught your brother stealing a laptop. The bill is 400,000. And before you know it, the money you have saved, that's a devourer. All this stealing you see young people do, especially all these young guys, steal something shamefully, come and put their parents in trouble. The money that should be the school fees of five people, you have to take it and go and settle police. It's the devil. What about the young boys that have not reached age of driving? They smuggle out a car and go somewhere, an expensive car they just bought with their friends. Get drunk and smash the car. These are all the schemings of darkness. Many parents today are almost dying of depression because of the stubbornness of their children. A lady jumps the fence and disappears 1 week. Nobody has seen her. They are all afraid. They start contacting the police, paying money, and then she strolls in after 8 days and says, why are you looking for me? It's the devil. A smart young gentleman about to graduate, they will go and find him under the gutter because he went for a nonsense party, Christmas party, that is the birth of Jesus Christ. Drinks to stupor, and the friends strip him of phone and everything, and they leave him on the ground. They come and carry him in the morning, arrest him in the police station, and the whole family spends Christmas going to the station. I'd like you to say the devil is a liar. I'm showing you, these are the things in many families. Satan does not want to see everybody rising. You see a gentleman, the only graduate, and because he's a giver, a wicked accident will happen and just destroy both of his legs. Or one kind of devilish sickness where there will be chemotherapy or something that is eating over 70,000 to 100,000 per week. In 6 months, it has dried the finances of the family. He said, I will stand upon my watch and set myself upon the tower. You have to be watchmen when you are at home. Don't see things happen and join everybody cry. You know what to do. Go and lock yourself and say, Lord, this cannot continue to be. Quarrel between father and mother. Quarrel between husband and wife. All these bad things the devil brings during this season. A time of joy and merriment. All of a sudden, that spirit comes into our families. Fire on the mountain. Everybody is living like a stranger. Don't you see that is an attack? I'm telling you so that when you go back home, everybody used to run away, but now you are the one who will move and say, no way. I put an end to this evil in the name of Jesus. Lift your hands. Let me speak over your life. In the name of Jesus Christ, I decree and declare by the power of the Holy Spirit, as you return back, you return in the power of the Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ. Any name and any identity the devil has given your family that is a mockery to redemption, I stand here in the name of Jesus and I declare that within this 1 month, may the Lord change your story. I pray from the depth of my heart for any individual and any family that is called Ichabod, that the glory has departed. I declare that because of your going back, let there be a restoration of glory. Let there be a restoration of honor. Let there be a restoration of dignity. Anyone here still trusting God for a job, I'm declaring, you will not return next year without a job. In the name of Jesus Christ. I decree and declare, if there is any manipulation of witchcraft, for those of you who are traveling to the village, and there are all kinds of warnings here and there, either because your people are used to witchcraft, I declare, you will go and come back safely. You will go and return safely. In the name of Jesus. Hear me. Any strange spirit that enters your family during these times of love to scatter the families, I declare in the name of Jesus, their end comes this season. Hallelujah. There are families right now who are even waiting for you to come because even one chicken they cannot afford for Christmas. I call on my God. I cry before the God of heaven that between now and next week, let there be a miracle of supplies. A miracle of supplies. A miracle of supplies. A miracle of supplies. Hallelujah. I pray for those who are students. Do you know there are students that when they go home, as soon as their parents see them, their hearts begin to palpitate because of school fees. In the name of Jesus, the kind of favor your parents have never seen, I pray in the name of Jesus, let there be that kind of favor for them. The kind of favor that will make your school fees look like pocket money. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray for your spiritual life. Most people leave this environment and go back and return back as cold as whatever. I pray for you. You will return with even greater fire than you left with. Whoever the devil is arranging in your life between now and January to destroy you, I prophesy that your path will not cross. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. And for those of you who will be traveling, there are people who will be traveling from tomorrow, whether by air, whether on the road, I speak to your journey. I decree and declare, you no armed robbers on the road. In the name of Jesus Christ, you will arrive safely and you will return back safely. In the name of Jesus Christ. I'd like you to wave your hands to Jesus. Wave your hands to Jesus. Father, we give you all the praise. After tonight,
will officially be closing for the year, and we'll be resuming. Thank you. We'll be resuming 19th. 19th is the third Friday of January 2018. If you will be there, I want you to clap for Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Very quickly before I take.